This is CliffCentral.com.
Adrian Groenewald here, and with me still Louis Groenewald. We're diehards. We're still here for the next half hour or a little less. Leadership in education, built on the whole last 2.5 hours, speaking to the CLC CEO, SMEs trying to build their businesses in this crazy world, talking to Daniel Silk about how the world is transforming, all the big trends happening out there. And with this picture in mind, the question is our education system. So that's why we like leadership in education. And we're going to be simple today, but important. Barbara Dale Jones, not in the studio, but Sibongile Khumalo, Bridge's head of ops, in the studio. Hi, Bridge. I mean, Sibongile. Bridget. How are you, Sibongile?
Good, thanks. How are you, Adrian?
Good to have you with us.
Thanks.
So before we introduce our guest and move on to understanding good teaching, anything happening on the education front, Sibongile?
Yes, Adrian, just breaking news that the report on the jobs for cash probe has been delayed. And, you know, we have Musi Maimane speculating as to Angie Motshekga maybe wanting to consult with Satu on the report, which would kind of dilute the report a little bit. So there's been a lot of speculation about that delay in the report. And if
Tell
you remember, this
jobs
for cash report is a probe into the allegations that certain posts for principals and teachers have been given to individuals that were willing to pay for them. So this is a report on that probe that's been delayed.
Is it also something to do with I on the books, I make you a department head, you get paid more money? Was that another, that's another issue? In the meantime, you're not going to function as one, but you must then give me something under the table. You know, that whole,
this is particularly related to teachers and principals getting jobs because they've paid for them.
All right. Yeah, so it's literally I pay you, I get the job.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, that's going to be interesting what comes from that one. Thank you for sharing it. Last week, we chatted to Jason Fisher, a teacher from Randfontein High, also a winner of the Excellence in Secondary Teaching, and he also went to national level. So obviously, there was a competition and an award ceremony recently, and we've now reeled in some of those teachers who've done really well. Today is Tasnim Muradmia, Head of Department of Foundation Phase at IR Griffith Primary. And she's also done well on this Excellence in Primary School Teaching. First in Johannesburg North District, proceeded on to provincial, where she also won, and then went on to national level, got third place. So she is a good teacher, and we all want them, we all need them, we all want them for our kids, for our society. Tasnim, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So here you are. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Did you always want this sort of award? Is it something you set your eyes on? Is it something that just came?
Well, it's something I've worked very hard for over the last 17 years. And it's also something that I've worked towards my entire life. It's been a dream. I never thought I'd reach this point, but lots of people see the value in it. Lots of people see what you're capable of. And yes, they reward you for it. And I'm very appreciative of that.
So it is something that's out there in your industry and that you would like to own, shall I say, as a teacher. I guess if you're interested and you're passionate about your career, then it's a worthwhile award to win.
Yes, absolutely. Because you need to remember, in the teaching profession, there's very little validation that you get.
Yeah.
Except in nothing in terms of monetary value, obviously. Little validation comes from your department. A lot comes from your principal, a little from the parents, a lot from the learners. But the National Teaching Awards is a platform where we can, you know, show what we have and what we can do. And people respect you for it. People look up to you for it. And you get validated in a big way.
So how does this change your life? You know, if you become a South Africa, then obviously it changes your life. If you become a winner of a lot of competitions, this means you're set as a teacher. You'll always have a job. You'll always get into any school you want. Shouldn't you jump to a private school where they pay you double now? Or, you know,
for me, teaching is not about the money. I mean, it's such a cliche when people say it, you know, like if it's easy to go to a private school. But where I am right now is where I want to be. I love what I do. I love where I am teaching at the moment. And I've taught in so many different kinds of places, you know, in schools where I have very little to nothing resources. And the school that I'm in right now, I have all the privileges that you can think of. And for me, it's about personally validating myself and what I really want. And this is where I want to be right now. So, yeah.
All right. So, but it does change your life, I guess.
Yes.
It goes on your CV forever.
Definitely. It goes on your CV forever. And
there's a reason why you wanted it from the beginning anyway. So I'm kind of trying to understand from a little naughty point of view, why do you always want it when you don't use it to just advance your career and be paid more?
Look, I think in terms of where I am right now, I do work a lot with the Department of Education. I do a lot of facilitator jobs and workshops for them and train other teachers.
Okay.
But this is the forefront of where I want to be. I want to interact with other teachers. The money, yes, if it comes along and it's something I want to do later on, definitely. I know it'll be one of those things like a bag of gold in my hand that, this is what I've achieved. But right now, I'm very comfortable where I'm very happy.
Okay, and what drives you? Have you always wanted to be a teacher? What do you think makes you wake up on a Monday morning or be excited about Monday morning on a Sunday evening?
I love teaching. And it's a passion that I've had forever. And it started when I was in school and my teachers, I saw the passion, the drive that they had. And I never questioned it. And they came to school helping us, doing everything that we can. So when I come to school on a Monday morning, yes, I drag myself out of bed a little. But then when I see what I'm coming to and those little faces that come running to you, it's the most amazing feeling that you can possibly have. And being a teacher is innate. You feel it. And when you feel it, you put it across in your classroom. And my children see that when I teach them. And I can take it to any platform that I want to. And I've never, ever come to school unhappy because I know that every day is something different. And I love it.
Okay, so that element, that passionate element, that real motivation, that authenticity of why you're a teacher, that's what makes you a great teacher and probably differentiates you. What else makes you a great teacher? No, so we don't have to argue about whether you're a great teacher or not. We have proof here, right there. You did well in the competition. So what else do you think makes you a great teacher? And actually, I want us to make a list, but let's get there between differentiating a great teacher and differentiating a not so great teacher. Mm-hmm. But what makes you a great teacher?
Well, the first thing you need is motivation, self-motivation.
So that's the part you spoke of just now, is you really always want it to be.
It has to come from in you, because teaching is not an easy profession, not by any means. The circumstances that we're teaching in, things that relate to being a teacher right now, is so different from when it was a few years ago. There's so many more challenges around you. So if you don't have that drive to be the best teacher that you can be every day in your little world, in
your
classroom,
you'll just stop.
Everything just stops. Mm. Everything collapses. So even if you have the best technology, even if you have the best worksheets, you have the best books, the best resources, but if you can't put it across and that passion doesn't come through to your learners, nothing's going to work out for you.
Okay, what else makes you a great teacher?
Well, for me, it's about working with the colleagues that I have, inspiring them, motivating them. So we work as a team. Teamwork is a big thing in teaching. If you are a team member and you work as a team and you work with good SMT members, you have a good school relationship, you have a good community relationship, it drives you as a teacher to do the best that you can. You want the best for your learners. And anyway, the learners themselves, they're my biggest motivation. They're my biggest passion, my biggest drive. Because when you see them and when you teach with them and you interact with them, they open up a whole different world in front of you. That's amazing.
And I can imagine, Sibongile, you guys work in the teaching profession for so long across different schools. There's a lot of teachers who start out that way, surely, who are very passionate, who also one day want to win that award. And there's so many challenges, as you say. It's just escalated because of all the needs in society. And I can imagine a lot of teachers lose that motivation. They lose that focus and that. Do you see that?
And listening to Tasni right now, I'm thinking, good teaching doesn't happen in a vacuum. It doesn't happen in isolation and without kind of the right input. So I wanted to ask Tasni, what is it maybe particularly about school leadership, your principal, that provides or creates that enabling environment for you to and your team members to become good teachers?
It's a good question, because you could be as passionate, start out as passionate as Tasneem is, and then these things start going wrong. Great principal one day, next day useless principal for whatever reason, and all that just starts closing in on you as a teacher, and you can only be self-motivated so long, maybe.
Yes. I agree with you. Self-motivation sometimes doesn't come very easy, but the environment that you work in, the people that you work around, is a big support system in terms of teaching nowadays. And as a head of department for the last 8 years, I've realized that I don't work in isolation. I work with everybody around me. The principal, the SMT members, the teachers, the learners, the parents. It's a community effort in the school. It's working with each other, working together. And I also believe that as a leader, As a head of department, I'm a leader, and people look up to a leader. And every day you have to come in and you have to set a new vision for your teachers. What are they working towards? And if you lead by example, every single day, no matter how difficult it is, if you lead by example, you've already won half the battle, because you can't compromise who you are, your values, your value system. You need to be the best leader that you can, and you need to have the best support system around you. And that's very important in a school.
Okay. And Simongile also kind of touched on the principle. So,
yes.
So that's no doubt you're a good leader, and on your level, what do you look for in your principal to help you be the kind of teacher and department head that you are?
My principal, well, we have quite a long story with my principal and I. First started when I moved up to Johannesburg. I was looking for a job. Nobody wanted to give me one. And I went for an interview and I got the job that I did at Hillbrow, in Hillbrow, Rosneath Primary School. Taught there for 6 years, the best 6 years of my life.
What years were those? I mean, Hillbrow is a different place now, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, when I tell my parents that I started teaching Hillbrow, like, okay, really? But you know what I learned in that school, the kids, the value system, everything around there made me who I am now. And I'll never sacrifice or never compromise on those 6-7 years of my life for everything. But my principal, Mrs. Margarita Lopez, she was my principal, my mentor, my HOD then. And when she moved and there was a job available, I moved to that school, which is Ira Griffith. The HOD post opened and she believed in me with such passion that I actually got the post. And she's trained me. She's taught me how to believe in myself. She's given me a platform where I could do workshops for other people. I could train other people. I could train other parents to believe in themselves, to help their children themselves. And on an emotional level, she's always been my support. She's always been a principal when I need her to be, and a colleague. And that's very important. Even my SMT members, we all work together. We work as a team. So it's amazing.
Okay. Does that answer, Sibongile?
That does answer it. And, you know, you spoke about training other teachers, about your principal giving you the opportunity to train others, workshop others. And I'm wondering, how do you continuously develop yourself as a teacher?
Well, I'm always attending workshops. I'm always part of workshops. I'm always online looking for new teaching methodologies, knowing that the classrooms that we are in, learners are so technologically advanced that you put a worksheet in front of them and they switch off. So how do I change one worksheet into something that will make them alert, something that will make them so entertained in it that they can complete that worksheet? Playing games with them. I always look for things, new ideas, new motivation to do with them, so that teaching becomes enjoyable for me and enjoyable for the learners as well.
So I'm going to go a little bit of a negative route for a moment. I'm a teacher out there, or I'm a principal, and I need to identify my weak teachers, if I can call it that. Or I'm a teacher who started out very motivated, and now I'm just not sure where I am and who I am anymore. So just give me three or four pointers that if I had to tick that list, I'd go, okay, I'm on the wrong platform. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look, okay. Every teacher.
How do I know I'm a weak teacher?
Well, you have to look at yourself and you have to look at your classroom. Are you achieving the goals that you set out for the day? If you are not, and your class is going crazy every single day and you leave then, you're thinking, what am I doing
here?
That's
a good sign.
That's a good sign that something is really wrong and you need to ask for help. Lots of teachers out there don't look at it as I can ask for help. They want to be in their little classroom, teach the way they do and leave it. But we need to extend that out there. Show me how to do this. Learn from what I can, learn a little bit better and do better. Yeah, because every teacher reaches a burnout. I mean, by the end of the term, I'm waiting for that holiday because I need to rejuvenate, and that's normal.
And you put a lot into
it. That's normal. You put a lot into it. And teaching is a very emotional job. Mm. It's not just administrative. It's not just getting onto a platform every day and becoming an actor and actress. It's emotional. You're investing in those learners academically, emotionally, mentally, socially, on all levels. So it takes a lot out of you. And if your principal, your team, your school values you, they put that back into you. They invest in you as well. And it's a full circle that comes around.
Okay, so I don't look forward to Monday mornings anymore. My classes are hectic. I look at those kids and I don't feel passionately in love with them. I know something is wrong. How do I pick myself back up?
Well, you know, you have to critically...
Just one second. Duncan... We just need, there's some, check the mic in the hub. I think there's like breathing. Something is not right. Okay. Go for it. Sorry.
Okay. No problem. You have to critically look at your school. You have to look at your team. You have to find out where the gaps are and how you can bridge those gaps. And you have to, it's not an overnight solution. You have to do a SWOT analysis. What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses of the school? And teachers are in such a profession where, I said, validation comes so little that you have to look at what you can do to validate them. And it sounds like such a cliche every time I say it because everybody says it, but it's those little steps that you take to find that solution. So the bigger problem becomes smaller and smaller until it doesn't dissipate completely until it becomes non-existent in your mind. And then you say, okay, I'm going to focus on the positive no matter what, and I'm going to take it each day as it comes.
Where's education going? Are we preparing our kids for this crazy world we just discussed with Daniel Silk from Cape Town?
Well, in terms of education, education is so changing. Every day is changing. You know, when we used to sit in a classroom, I remember myself sitting in a classroom with a textbook in front of me and a teacher just standing there reading through a textbook. There was no interaction. There was nothing else. It was just me, the textbook, and a teacher in front. Now teaching is literally turned up on its head. You know, education is turned on its head. And the methodologies of teaching, the learners in the classroom themselves are so diverse. They come with different learning abilities, audio, visual, different kinds of things that you have to learn about how to teach them. And yes, education is difficult. You know, we deal with so many challenges in terms of the curriculum development itself. We learn in terms of the shortage of resources, overcrowded classrooms. But for me, I find that it's not really the education that's changing. It's the learners' needs themselves. Mm. When we look at the learners in the classroom now, it's not the learners that we had 5 or 6 years ago. They're coming in with so much on their shoulders. Like, I teach children that are 8, 9 years old, but they're going through so much themselves, emotionally, socially. The parenting, the household scheme, the family scheme has changed so much that they bring that into the classroom, and you end up being a counselor to them. You end up being a teacher at certain times. You end up being their friend, and then at some times you end up being the best friend they've ever had. You know?
The disciplinarian.
So, yes, and discipline is one of the big issues in our schools. I mean, you ask some of the teachers around, discipline is literally going out the window no matter what you do. But we have to persevere.
Are all these issues not so dominant and so challenging that we're not getting to that proactive space where we're preparing our kids? In some schools, I think it's about sit down, 5 minutes, sit down, let's see, did you do your homework, demerit, merit, okay, here's the next homework, work on it a bit, what you don't finish, you take home. And I never teach. I never really teach and connect and inspire. Mm. I'm managing a homework program to get through the curriculum. Mm. I think that's happening. Partly, it's a way of dealing with overcrowded classrooms, of dealing with the real challenges that you face there. And as a teacher, I can't get too personally involved because there's just too much. I'm not a psychologist. So are we so fixated on these challenges that we're not getting to that space where we're preparing our kids for this mad world that's out there?
I think we're trying our best. We're really trying our very best. But we are teachers at the end. We only train to a certain amount to interpret the curriculum. And like you say, we don't teach the curriculum. We're teaching those learners. And sometimes you have to stop that lesson and you have to do something that will bring them back to where they are. Mm. Because like I'm saying, that learner is so different from the one sitting right next to you that lesson that you're teaching may not get through the same way you are, but you still have to teach that lesson. Verbs are verbs and they have to be learned. You know, addition and subtraction has to be taught. The manner in which you teach them, yes, we try a lot of different visual games right now. We try a lot of things to interact with them. But in the end, the content has to go through. And if you have the facilities at school, like at school, we're fortunate to have educational psychologists and OTs coming. We find those problems are very common. And those parents are trying their very best to help them as well. So we work as a team and we do the best that we can.
Simogile, you're shaking your head, listening carefully, agreeing, I think.
Yes, you know, I'm listening to you and I quite admire Tasneem right now. And I was at the National Teaching Awards and I remember the Vice President Ramaphosa saying that all South African teachers are winners. And I don't want to take away from you the fact that you are the winner. You know, you are one of the people that stood up there and actually won something. And also, you know, that... you're already an HOD, so you're already a leader at your school. And I wonder, where is this teaching journey taking you? Do you ultimately want to become a principal? Do you just want to be a teacher? What are your aspirations within teaching?
I would love to become a principal. I would love. I see myself as a person that can lead other teachers to a point where they can look at themselves and they can say, yes, I did it. Because that's where I am right now. Yes, I did it. And I'm very proud of what I've done. And I also feel that I have to go through the different stages in my life. So at the moment, I'm a head of department. Then I move to, if possible, a deputy principal and then a principal. So yes, if opportunities come my way, I'm going to grab them, definitely.
Yeah, I guess it's that journey that you have to be consciously aware of. What kind of leadership training do you really receive? We find a lot of principals are in a tight spot because they were great teachers and maybe a good head of department. But where's the training? That leap into principalship is just a massive one. There's a lot of initiative trying to close that gap, of course, but it's a big one. And if you can keep your passion and end up there, then I think those are the kind of principles we need, Tebongile.
Yes.
Certainly, and you've made the point that actually the principal plays a very big role in getting the teaching team together and getting you to be a productive and excellent teaching team. And I think you're in a good school environment. Ira Griffith is definitely a good
school.
Yes,
definitely it is.
Okay, advice to teachers. I know we've touched on a lot of principles, but now we're going to, now you're giving us a lesson, okay? 2 minute lesson. Advice to teachers, advice to principals by default on how to be a great teacher. Let's end off with that.
Okay, so I think, I know that teaching is very tough, but you have to have the guts to go the extra mile. You have to persevere. You have to remember why you're an educator. You have to look at those learners who depend on you. And sometimes it's a hard load to carry, a very hard load to carry. But when that child comes to you and says, "Thank you, miss," what does it do to you? It changes your entire world. It's such a simple statement, but it really makes a big difference. You can't see teaching as a job. Teaching is a career. It's developmental. You can build yourself to every single level that you want to take yourself to. And I think lots of teachers need to realize that, that if you're willing to take yourself to the next level, you can go to the National Teachers Award. You can go beyond that. You can go international, wherever you want. But you need to believe in that. And as a teacher, I think teachers need to do three things. They need to teach with passion. They need to teach with dignity. They need to teach to inspire. And as a principal, you need to do the same. You need to lead to inspire. You need to lead with dignity. You need to lead with passion. Those are mottos I live by. And as a head of department, I try and, invest those same qualities into my teaching and into my colleagues that I teach with. Because you never know the impact you're making on a child. And you never know the influence you have on a child. And yes, not everything's going to be roses, but sometimes those roses bloom in the most, you know, unexpected places. And you need to keep your personal and professional life separate. You need to know that you're coming to school, you're doing a job that's going to change somebody's life. So you need to teach with that kind of dignity. You come to school with a good attitude. There's no way to be a perfect teacher. There is no perfect teacher. But in a million ways, you can be a great teacher. And so it may not be easy, but you will get there and it'll be worth it. And as I think as a leader for principals, principals need to remember that lots of other people look up to them as leaders. They look up to them for guidance and for help. So they need to be the kind of person. And as a leader, you need to be the kind of person that is willing to help others, willing to help parents, learners, and everyone around them. But don't compromise your value system. Don't compromise who you are, what you do.
Thank you so much, Tasneem Muradmia. I think you're probably a teacher close to perfect. And it's an honor having you here. Sibungile, thank you for coming. And Kumalo, you can come back. It was great having you here, standing in
for
Barbara from Bridge Projects. Louis, final comment, 20 seconds. Anything we take away from this?
What I take away is the the personal commitment or testimony of passion and loving to serve. And I can see it, the children catching it as well. It applies to all levels of leadership. If you don't have that kind of passion, it's extremely difficult because you're not authentic. But thank you for what you brought to us today. We appreciate it immensely.
That's it. Leadership Transformation Platform. That was a Leadership and Education show. Stay tuned to Cliff Central. We can't wait to be with you again next week. Have a great week.
This is CliffCentral.com.